welcome to another episode of the Single Girl's Guide to Life, your weekly guide to single life living in your 20s, 30s, and 40s. I'm Chantelle Dyson, a single life confidence coach, helping single women to embrace their single life. And by that, I mean that you can go out there and live your life realizing that you don't need a relationship to be happy and that you are fulfilled, content, and inverted commas, living your best life. Even when you're single, and you continue that, even if you do find yourself dating, do find yourself in a relationship, you have this complete sense of self and security, but we're not pitying ourselves over being single, and we're certainly not letting comments from other people bring us down on that singleness. And this week, we are starting to look at wrapping up the whole year. Hopefully you've had your Spotify Wrapped and you checked in on that. I shared a little bit about my own personal Spotify Wrapped. Thank you, Maisie Peters and Taylor Swift and Griff, for keeping me company this year in the majority. And also the podcast Spotify Wrapped, which as a podcaster, we get separately to a normal Spotify Wrapped. And it tells me, as your podcast host and the person that literally edits all these, listens back to myself and so on, how the podcast has done. And you guys are absolutely smashing it. Thank you so much for following, for sharing, and for listening week on week. It makes such a difference. I sit and talk to this camera and this microphone every week, and I don't know what the reception is entirely until I hear from you in the DMs, which is always lovely to receive. But when I see it being shared on Instagram, that is fantastic. When I see that I'm tagged in something and I know what it's meant to you, that means something. And when I see another review come in, that just tells me that it's worth showing up here every day. I think what I share is useful to people. It's because that's what I've learned from my experiences of being single for 2.5 to 3 years since I went through my divorce in 2019. The first time as an adult being single, realistically, and learning to build this whole life up that didn't rely and assume that I would be better off if I was in a relationship. And that's tough going. You have to battle with a lot. You have to work on undoing the things that we've been told from when we're kids, that you're going to be happier once you're in a relationship and you should follow this trajectory of life. Well, I followed that trajectory with someone that was fine, generally speaking. There wasn't any problems with them per se, and our relationship wasn't bad. It was just indifference that led us there. And it doesn't make you happy if it's not the things that make you happy and that what you want from your life. And when have you sat and stopped to determine what you want from your life? So if you listen to this episode or any other episode and you find it useful, please feel free to message me and let me know. Ratings would be fabulous. And sharing it as well on Instagram is always really, really good too. Whichever one you prefer. Technically speaking, I probably should have told you just to do one of those. But if you can follow, like, share, it always is helpful. I want to come back to what I've just touched on there, because we don't sit to consider what we really want in life. I'm a PSHE teacher by day, used to be a maths teacher. Somehow I've pivoted. Who knew? And there was an exercise. I wasn't teaching PSHE at the time, but there was an exercise that I observed within a school once where year sevens had to show what they wanted to happen in their life. And what fascinated me, and it doesn't come as any surprise really, but what fascinated me was that they all wrote pretty much the same thing. Interestingly, a lot of them decided they wanted to be YouTubers and creators, and they were going to have a lot of money, these people. But what was really interesting was that same trajectory, that same expectation of what they thought they should do and what would make them happy, which was building a family in some way. So that meant meeting someone, having gone to university probably, and then to have a couple of kids, buy a nice house and nice cars. That was where the money bit was coming in. And it's interesting that even at 11 years old and prior to that, because I know from conversations I've had with friends who have got kids, like the children start talking about what they're going to have for their families, what they're going to call their kids when they grow up. You know, they start to picture a future, but it's so ingrained from such a young age that that is something that you're going to do. And there isn't any real thought given to it. And there's not the reality. And obviously we don't want to taint too many children's lives with the seriousness of life. You know, that sometimes some people can't have families for whatever medical reason that is, you know, or the finances that are included within that. It is definitely just this element of looking at how to decide for yourself, despite the fact that we are grossly shown that we should be sticking to something all the time. So that is what we're going to start to question during this week's episode. We're going to start to let you create the vision for your life, in this case, in 2023. It is so important to have some idea of where you want to be going, because if you don't decide on some sort of path, then you'll literally just follow what anyone else tells you, what you think you should do. And you haven't actually sat there and questioned these things. And this can be big picture stuff. So one of the biggest things that came up for me, and I've sometimes spoken about on this podcast, is the idea around children. And I briefly have even gone into it on TikTok in a bit more detail. This idea that some of the difficulty I faced in my marriage was once we were married, there was so much pressure for children. And I didn't feel that, despite having had discussions about like what we'd call our children. I started to feel this disconnect around the idea of children. I don't know if it was because I was a teacher and I'd started to understand what it really meant to raise a child, like not just teach. Like I love working with children. They're wonderful. I don't have a thing against children. I'm not one of these people that like rolls their eyes when kids are kicking off in public spaces. It's more to do with the fact that I just look and I go, oh, hang on, this is a whole new identity shift. Like actually raising a child is a 24/7 job, realistically, and until they hit school age. And then that's just a babysitting feature. But prior to that, like, what does that really mean? Like that's a whole, do I want to be a mum? Do I want that as an identity? Do I want to be what does that mean to be a mum? And do I have to do it in the way that everyone else would do it? And ultimately, I've probably decided I don't really like the idea of pregnancy, giving birth. I'm really not keen on that. So in hindsight, I sometimes think it's probably not for me to actually have children per se. But I know that I would be a great godmother and I know that I can interact with children in positive ways. So there are other roles that I could take on in that way. But it is interesting because I have this conflicting idea of wanting a sense of belonging and family. And there is a tinge of kind of, is it jealousy? I don't know. Envy? There's a difference between the two. I can't remember what the difference is between them. Look them up if you ever. It's intriguing that there's a difference between envy and jealousy. But there's this idea that when someone announces that they're pregnant, it's not the jealousy of the child sometimes that I feel or that pang. It's the feeling of not having had or having that person that would do that with me or be prepared to invest and commit in that way. Now you could say, but you did have that. Someone was literally ready to do that with you and you're in your marriage. Yeah, I know. You flick and you change and different things make you feel particular ways. Like you could have had that. You were on your way to having that. So, but it tells you that this is not about having children. This is much deeper. This is about sense of belonging. This is about, I suppose, acceptance or commitment, whatever it might be. But it's not the child that I want. And I could fool myself into thinking that that is what I want. When I think, oh, I'm seeing that announcement and I'm feeling that, does that mean that I want a kid? Like, and it could be easy to assume that it was, but I know myself well enough to go, wait a sec, let's really evaluate this. Let's look at it. And in my head, I don't think at this point I want to be pregnant and I don't foresee that in the near future. But that doesn't mean I won't be challenged on that thought. And that doesn't mean that I might not change my mind at some point. I might come around to the idea of like, it's just part of the thing. If I actually do decide that I want to do child rearing right now, that's my headspace. That's where I'm at. And that's okay. But I've questioned that line and that's my stance on it as we speak. And when anyone tries to talk to me about that, if they did try to, I know where I'm coming from on it. And, you know, people would go, oh, do you not want a family? Yeah, I do. But maybe if it came to it, maybe I would adopt if I felt like I wanted that. Or maybe I'll get enough from just being with that person. And the big projects I do, like I love being here on this podcast. I love the coaching programs. Honestly, if I'm having a bad day and I know I've got a coaching session later on, I know that that's going to be fantastic because I'm able to give in the particular ways that I want to. People benefit from it so heavily. And then from there, it just lifts me up. I get that reward. And I do feel like I'm sharing with life. I do feel like I'm teaching people and I get that from teaching as well. It's why I still love that job, even though I quit teaching full time back in December. Like it was obvious and it seemed easy now to look back and go, of course I didn't quit it, you know, the whole industry and leave forever because I still like doing what I do in that capacity. I like helping people in that way. It's not hatred for children. It's not wanting to give and be selfish. It's really not run on a selfishness. I don't want to do it per se. And if I was going to raise a child, I'd want to be all in. And I already know that this and creating these ideas and activities are what I love to do. But godmother, easy. You know, auntie, fabulous. I would give the children in my life in different ways. But it's starting to evaluate those different areas so that you are making the life that you want and not just the one that you were prescribed and told from an early age. It's no one's fault that you were given that. It's just what's pretty standard for everybody. Nearly every kid comes up with an idea of what they want for the future and they all look very similar. This is what you need to do to get ready for your single life in 2023. Start mapping out what you hope to happen. Start setting intentions for what you see for the future. Set some goals and targets. The aim is to work on them. to achieve some of them, to meet them. You won't do them all. And that's okay. I, every year, write a letter to myself to open in the Christmas time of the next year. And it is filled with a past tense version, or I hope that you did this. Tell me where you went. Did you do this? Did you do that? I can't remember what I wrote last year in 2022. And I don't know what things I had planned. So like, for example, I didn't have planned the trip to go to Milan to see Ludovico Einaudi. That got booked in May. So that won't refer to that directly. But I could have said, it could have been an intention that I wanted to see him. So maybe I'd written, did you do that? I'll probably have asked myself, am I still cooking gusto meals? Which I will be able to say yes at this point, but we're starting to wind those down a little bit. I'm going to start working a little bit differently because I have more time in my life now. It will probably be talking about how the business has got on, because that was what I was doing at the time. I was quitting my job and I'll probably be wondering what I spend my time doing. And I can't remember. It's such a long time ago. I'll read it back and think, did I write this? Like, and of course I did. It's in my hand. It's to me, from me. And I then write also a letter back to the one of last year to kind of say, well, this is what I did and this is what happened and so on. And I, again, write next year's one. And it's just about, yeah, looking forward, seeing what's going on, and making sure you're going in the direction that's right for you. And that's what I do as a coach. I don't tell you what to do. I encourage you to think for yourself and I ask you questions to consider it. That's the difference between a coach and a mentor. Mentor is lots of the things I do here. I tell you what I did and that might inspire you to go off and do the same thing. But a coach asks you the questions like, what do you want your life to look like in a year's time? What would you like to introduce into your life? And what would you like to get rid of? Something like that just allows you to start asking the right questions to yourself. But being ready for 2023 isn't just about getting the single life vision right. It's the elements that come together to form who you are and what your life is that allows you to get through single life. And that is character, community, and courage. Without these three things working in tandem together, you won't make the right decisions for yourself. You will live a life according to other people. You'll be pleasing other people and you'll spend it with the wrong people. You won't be filling your life up with the things you want because you won't know who you are. Your character and understanding who you are and why you're the way you are is the bit that allows you to accept the flaws that you have in your personality and allows you to continue on being confident in who you are, even when that's tested by the people that are around you. Because when we're on personal development journeys and we are trying to change, we are questioned by the people around us because they have an impression of who we are right now. They have an idea of who we should be, what we're doing, how we react, what matters to us. And when we're going through personal development sections, we start to change. We develop new habits. We approach things in different ways and we start to believe different things. And that doesn't match up with somebody else. And what's happening is that you changing is causing them to have to change their idea of you. And that they don't feel is quite right. Like, that's not who you are. That's not what fits my idea of what we were together or you as a family member or how this all pieced together. You were like this and that's how you dealt with everything and that's how it went. And so because you're changing, you're forcing them to have to change at least their mindset around you. And they might not be prepared for that. They might question it. And knowing and understanding yourself and being confident in yourself is good. But it comes also back to this idea that you can only step into being so truly yourself if you have the right people around you that you know are there to support you, that are there to help to get you through and accept you even when you're changing. So the people that can't accept you when you're changing and developing and growing as a person are not going to be the kind of people that we would associate with our strongest parts of our community. They form part of the community, but they're not the strong part of support. They're not the inner circle, as I would call it. And you have to look really carefully at your inner circle, because who are the people that you go to in times of need? Technically, I introduce this normally as the people that you spend the most time with, but that can be skewed by work sometimes and it can be skewed by your living arrangements. What I mean is, who are the people that you choose to spend the most time with and who creates a support for you? Who is there for you no matter what? And even if you did the worst thing in the world, they would still be by your side to help you out. It's that idea of who would help you bury the body. Disclaimer that I don't think any of you should have a situation where you need to bury a body, but it's the idea around who would help you, who would be there, who would get to you in a crisis point, subject to them being around, of course. So, you know, not everyone can be around 24/7, but our community makes or breaks us. We have a desire to belong in this world, and it is why some of you go after chasing a relationship. Chasing relationships is not the one. And we put so much pressure on such a high stakes interaction and connection. Of course you push loads of people away because they're not quite right. But if we can take it a tier down and realize that we can get all of the support and belonging from our friendships before we even think about a romantic connection slotting in there as well, we can actually live a really fulfilled life because we have the cheerleaders on our side. We have the people that we text and say, look what I've just done, or oh my God, check this email out, look what's coming this way, or oh my God, I've had a disaster, this has just happened. It's the people that we get to share our lives with in a genuine and authentic way. And that means saying goodbye to some of the people that have been in your life longest, but need to now take either a back seat or need to just go. They need to be demoted. They might be around all the time, but they're not really supporting you in the right ways. And so you've got to phase them out a little bit and reduce how much time you spend with them, or you've got to literally go through a very overt friendship breakup. Friendships are meant to change. And if you're holding on to someone that you met in your school years that you just don't really see anymore and they don't really align with you anymore, it's okay. It's okay to let that person go. And you think, and again, it's this obsession we've got with longevity. It's like, but I've known them for so long. Like, does it have to be like this? Well, if that person's not showing up for you in the right way and they're holding you back, I mean, if they're making comments that are detrimental to your growth and, you know, they're opposing you getting better, they're holding you back from sorting out health issues, from starting to date again or encouraging you to do stuff on your own, and they're all the kind of things that you're trying to do, that isn't going to push you forward. It's going to hold you back. And so sometimes people need a bit of demoting. They don't need to be in your life as much. They don't deserve as much time. If they're using you as an emotional outlet, but never letting you emotionally outlet, like, where's the trade-off in that? Our friendships have got to serve us as well as allow us to serve them. We have to give more than we get, but we should still be getting. It would be naive of us to not assume that we would get something back in return, because otherwise it's weighted the wrong way. That's not fair. It's not equal. That's not friendship and community. So it's working out who to surround yourself with, what you want to see on a daily basis, who you want to talk to, who you want to share your life with. And getting your community is important. Sometimes having another single person in that community can be really vital. We are still going to be running events in 2023. They're going to be workshop social hybrided in some cases to kind of help you get better value for money. Cost of living is going to be a tough old time for people. I completely appreciate that. And I know that socializing is going to be one of the biggest things that goes, right? Are you going to spend £20 on a ticket to come to an event, or are you going to spend £20 on your heating? I think right now, given how cold it is, we know where that's going to be going. Ultimately, I want to be able to give you something that's of value in many, many ways. So you'd come along to a workshop, you'd get to learn about whatever the workshop happened to be. Our first one is going to be on self-love and detaching from the idea of relationships, but you'd also get to be working with other single people that are in the room. And there is even a little section in there that is intended for you to socialize, a little break in there, coffee break, tea break, cake break, to then have a chat and to get to know people. So then it's both. You get to socialize. And for some, we may even throw like a drinks in for afterwards. If it's a weekday, it might push people, you know, it might be too late. But that's the kind of idea. And that's what the Single Girls Club has always been there to facilitate, and the online community. And then we have all of this stuff pushing you forwards. And lastly, it's being able to go out there and do things on your own and building up the courage to try new things, doing them on your own and doing new things. The idea is to not hold yourself back in 2023. This is your time to go out there and to make the most of the independence you have. But I can tell you, every person that's in a relationship sometimes wishes that they didn't have to do things with their partner. They sometimes wish that they didn't have the kids to think about. They sometimes wish that they could just go and book a flight, go on Friday and come back on Sunday. They wish they could do that. And money allowing, you can. And if you don't make the most of that now, you will regret it in 10 years' time when you're in a relationship, you've got kids, and you're like, I didn't make the most of that time. I was so busy chasing a relationship for so many years that I didn't actually live my single life and the freedom that I had then. And all I want right now is just to be able to do a little bit of that. What I'd give to just have a week of being single again. Like, you don't want to give up your kids, you don't want to give up your relationship, but there is a little bit of you that just goes, oh, like, why did I not just keep on enjoying what I was doing? And eventually I was always going to meet this person. Because chances are, whenever you're meant to meet someone, it will happen anyway. You'll jump onto a dating app at the right time when the right people are meant to appear. So why not just take the foot off the pedal and breathe a little bit, relax? And instead of trying all this stuff to try and find new people to go out on dates every week, why not try and enrich your life? Chances are you will meet people that align with you by doing the things that you enjoy doing the most. I met some incredible people when I worked at Camp Bestival over the summer holidays. I was stewarding, went on my own. It was the first one for Shropshire. I've never stewarded at a festival like that before. I've run my own little festival. It was part of my uni project. I've done events before, you know that. But this is what I did. It was a paid thing. It's because I knew I needed some money at the time. It wasn't the best paid. Did I have an epic experience? Absolutely. We were camping in tents for a couple of nights. Was it three nights, four nights in total? It was a whole group. We were on different shifts. We all just got on. And I met the fantastic Sarah, who some of you have met because she hosted the Manchester Single Girls Club event. She's a single girl herself. She's got two children and she's just fabulous. She's an absolute bright spark, full of energy. And okay, she's not a romantic partner, but she's someone that I've introduced into the company who's going to help with the events, who believes in the stuff we're doing. She's got that spirit and that energy that we believe in the Single Girls Club. And that's what matters. I didn't find her by placing an advert. I didn't find her by going out to different people and reaching out. I mean, that's still an option. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's an unexpected turn to just doing something that I was doing anyway for the sake of making money, going to a festival, Scout for Girls were playing. How exciting. You know, and sometimes we meet people in the best of ways by just going out there and doing new things. Yep, I've been travelling solo on my own. I chat to the people in my hostels. I never speak to some of them again. Hardly any of them, if any, so far. I've only been to two hostels, so you know. But you don't have to stay in touch with everyone you meet. You can still have a great experience. And in some cases, in the odd cases where it really works, or there is a reason to stay in touch, that then happens. And it then feeds into your community. All of that courage to go out there and do stuff not only builds your sense of self and your character, your integrity, your independence, but it then gives you the opportunity to build your community. It allows you to build your perspective on the life because you're meeting new people and you're doing new things and you've got stories to tell. How boring do you feel sometimes when you don't have stories? But the minute you're going out and doing something every now and then, you've got a story to tell. I have so many more stories to tell than I ever used to. Yes, I used to do lots of things still, even when I was in a relationship, I was social. But did I have adventures? Did I really push myself? Did I have moments of adversity that I needed to address? Not necessarily. Now there's so much to me, the things that have happened to me or as a result of what things have been going on and the things that I've actively gone after that I've made happen, like quitting my job, trying to set up a business, putting a risky game on the old New Year's Eve getaway, like putting that deposit down when I didn't know if people were going to come along was probably the scariest move I've made. Like I do that with events all the time. I have to put a deposit down when I confirm that I'm going to do an event with a venue. That's how that is. I have to put my money or the business money now up front. I'll be honest, New Year's Eve getaway was my money. The business owes me money. That's how that works. I put my own investment in it, right? That was the scariest moment I had, was putting money down and thinking, people are telling me this is what they want and I think it's a good idea, but will people actually want to come along? Like, is this going to happen? You know, I did what I could to try and convince myself that it was right, but you know, it was nearly four figures that I had to put down. And that was, as I said, it was my own money. Yes, it went through the business. It was my own investment as a director of a company and it was scary as. And one day I'll look back at that and I'll be putting that down on multiple events, hopefully, and it won't feel like anything. But at the time, it felt very big. Thankfully, it's paid off, everybody. Thanks for those that are coming along to the getaway. You're going to have a great time. There's still some spots if you want to join us. Or if not, you can join us at the Galentine's getaway. The point is that I have interesting stories about risks that I've taken, about things that I've done, about the ways that I've changed my life. I haven't sat down and worked out my 2023 vision yet. But when I now say that out loud, actually, I do have ideas because I have been thinking about it. Of course, I've been thinking about the business. We've got the Galentine's getaway. I've got to consider cost of living. So the business has had a lot of attention. We've got the first event lined up for February. Watch out for it. You've got to be on the email list. For my own life, I don't know if there's a lot that I want to change per se. It does revolve a lot around what the business does. You know, we're bringing in a dating program. Single Life Confidence is running again. So starting to continue to help people in that way. I've done little bits with the house, but the house is kind of settled. It's this idea. I heard it at the Rose Collective event that I went to in Chelmsford last month. Which was this idea around balance. Balance isn't about having everything in equal measure all of the time. It is about prioritising the right things at the right time. So when I first went through my divorce, My job was the least of my worries, my career and so on like that. It was stable. I knew what I was doing. I was very good at it as far as I was concerned. I needed to sort myself out. The last year to 2 years has been sorting out my independence. So getting this house done, creatively expressing myself and leaning into who I really was and what I wanted to do. And it did eventually lead to me leaving the job because I wanted more creativity. And that all came from knowing myself better. Some of you already know I have that values exercise that I pretty much do with nearly everyone in any dating program. The idea is that you know what drives your motivations, what you want. And so it makes making every decision much, much easier to do if you know what your values are. And that's what you can get from a Kickstarter call, even if you don't want to do one of the programs. But then after that, this year has been about the business. It continues to be about sorting out my work pattern. But as a result, the last 6 months has been exercise has taken a bit of a hit. I am very aware that I have not been to the gym as much as I was in the first half because I'm busy with other stuff. My life doesn't need that. I'm naturally more active. I don't have to push myself to go to the gym and make that part of a routine. And dating became a bit more of a focus. So my time got shifted away from. And it's all of these evolutions that going into 2023, I look and I could go, well, I'm not exercising as much as I did. Is that the priority anymore though? Do I need or want that? What is it that I am looking to get out of life in 2023? Or is it going to be focusing on dating and relationships? And that's partly seen in the business through the Back to Dating program, but also in my own life and the experiences I'm having. Where am I going exactly there? And that's what I will sit down and do a bit more mapping out. I've done some of my character and community. What adventures am I going to have next year? Who do I want to spend more time with and who do I want to spend less time with? What key moments and dates in the year do I want to enjoy and thrive in? These are the things that I cover in the Single Life Confidence program. It is the 12-week program that takes you from not feeling like you know who you are, from feeling lonely and not like you've got a sense of belonging and not going out there and doing things that you want to do. And it teaches you how to really delve into the sense of who you are. It teaches you how to say goodbye to people, to evaluate your friendship group and look at what's really missing from that to give you that sense of belonging. And you learn how to go out there and enjoy solo trips, of building resilience, of going out there, doing things on your own. It's a touch of dating in there. But the Single Life Confidence Program, it's in its round two. It's 2.0 this time. The first cohort are through and done. They've given me the feedback to make 2.0 even better. There's only a couple of spaces on it. We keep it small group because it needs to be intimate. I need to be able to talk to you to understand what's going on and to make the program right for you. That is the start of January. If you want to start going out there, you want a coach to get you through, to support you and to teach you how to encompass all of that in your life and to get confident in those areas, character, community, and courage, then that's what the Single Life Confidence Program does. The people that have been on the program have said it's got them to think about how far they've come. It's helped them to realize that dating is not the be all and end all. It's not the thing that matters to them only. And that they need to really consider who they spend their time with and their friends. And they've got those levels of confidence that they're going to continue on with to go forward with in the future. If you're interested in joining the Single Life Confidence Program, I have put the details in the description so that you can click through, take a little look and book a call with me. That call is to give you the opportunity to talk through the program, to make sure it's the right thing for you, to make sure you're the right person for the program, that you're going to bring the energy and that you've got the right mindset to start this off. If you are still mourning the end of a relationship, it's not for you. We're not doing the mourning part. I don't yet have a program for that. It is coming later in the year. So if you're right at the start of being broken up, it's not the right one because that's healing. This one is once you are generally over an ex, you might have moments, but this is for people that don't really have those attachments anymore, but they know that they're stagnating in their current position. They don't feel like they've got the network of support that they want and need. They don't feel like they can go out there, take solo adventures, whether that's to the local cinema or going abroad. And they do think that dating is going to be the answer, but they know there's something not quite right, but they just can't detach from that idea yet. That's who that's for. So if you're interested, check out the link. Drop me a DM on Instagram if you've got any questions you want to ask about it beforehand, but booking a call will give you all of that. And start thinking about how to develop your character, community, and courage so that you can create a single life vision for 2023 that is going to unlock that confidence in you. Have a great rest of your week, single ladies, and keep celebrating single life together.